Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com. MidwayUSA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night.
Yeah.
And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
Nope.
The summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time.
Sing.
This highway does not know my name.
Don't, not even at all.
Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
Right to the hook.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Budgets live, not so live, from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill here in beautiful southern Middle Tennessee. And this is the podcast for Monday, March the 13th. And I hope all you lowlifers are doing well out there this fine Monday. And if you're just tuning in for the first time and you wonder what a lowlifer is, well, that's what the listeners of this show refer to themselves as. And it's a term of endearment around here. It is not an insult. So welcome one and all, new and old lowlifers. And we're going to be getting together at the Bassmaster Classic here. I mean, winding down, about 11 days, we're going to be getting together in Knoxville, Tennessee at the Hill Bar and Grill for some low budget live, some music, some good time sharing drinks, hanging out there, probably about 7 p.m., I'm going to say, 7, 8, something like that. Tailgate, super party, I don't know. We'll come up with a better name. Between now and then, we appreciate the folks at the Hill, Knoxville, Tennessee, putting up with us that night. We're going to have a large time. Some special guests lined up. It's going to be fun. Man, it's good to be in the barn. I've been traveling my freaking butt off this week. Been all over the world and back, I feel like. And I've been to the land of Mickey Mouse. Not like that, though. I had work. It's not a fun trip. I hate Orlando. Unless I'm in that area trying to catch a giant bass. Don't really mind Universal Studios if I got the kids with me and whatnot. Like, I'm a big child. I like roller coasters and things, but I hate the Orlando airport. And I've taken my kids through there many times, but it's just like nobody knows how to do security because they don't fly that much. And I get it. I try to be patient as a dad. But you just got all these little kids, and they're all Mickey Mouse cracked out of their head. I don't want to take my shoes off. I don't want to put my iPad in the bin. And then some old daddy's smacking them in the back of the head, and the line's wrapped around 300 times longer than it is at actual Disney to ride some stupid Dumbo the Elephant ride, or It's a Small World at the freaking airport security line. I got to go back down there like two more times in the next few weeks just for work. For TH Marine. Drives me crazy, man. And if you were in the security line, I'm one of those people. If you're one of those people I'm talking about, I apologize. Because I've been, like I said, I have been that person. I have been the person in the security line multiple times with his family. And it's not their fault. it's Bin Laden's fault, right? Thanks a lot, Bin Laden, because airport security sucks. And I think, you know, when you kind of sit back and you watch, it's different at every airport. Some people take your shoes off. Some people tell you, just come on through. You get the old boy, it's like 5 o'clock on Friday. He don't give a damn. Just come on through here, buddy. You ain't got to take that laptop out. Don't worry about it. The next one, they're like, get your laptop out. Why are your shoes not on your feet? You can't wear that kind of shirt in here. Just depends on where you go. So I get people getting nervous, you know. I hate Orlando for that reason. I'm sure it's a nice town. Otherwise, the airport sucks, though, man, getting in and out. And Nashville's almost as bad because it's just a bunch of dang bachelor and bachelorette parties and wearing cowboy hats. They're all hungover, just dragging ass through the through the line and security up there, man. It's about as bad. And that's where I fly in and out of more than anything is that Nashville old BNA up there. And speaking of, for the last week, as I record this a couple days early from March the 13th, the triple threat, and I wish I had a sound effect for this, but she's been gone too. I've been traveling. She's been gone. She's still not home today as I record this. By the time you hear this, she will be home. She's been in damn London, England. I think that might've been Australian accent there, but she's been across the pond almost 7 days as I record this. I'm not well. She doesn't travel without me very much at all, especially across the damn ocean. But she got an opportunity to go over there with some students of hers, and she works for college teaching rad tech, radiology tech. Really cool. She got to go work in a hospital in London for a few days. These students, she got to teach London, however you want to say it, radiology students. Really cool. Really cool week for her. Not cool for me being here. I was on the road, got the dogs, got the kids, trying to take care of them as I'm in and out. And, chaos. It's chaos around here. Like me and the boys, it's been chaos. It's been complete and total chaos. So I'm glad that as you're listening to this, the triple threat is back in the United States. Something else I'm glad for, these sponsors that make all this possible here, Low Budget Live, week in and week out, the folks like StarTron, kicking ethanol in the teeth, in your chainsaw, in your weed eater, most importantly, in your outboard engine. Nothing ruins a great day on the water like an outboard engine that won't run thanks to stupid, dumb ethanol. Ethanol is just terrible. And it's in 10% of all your fuel. I think that's the stat. A little dab will do you. Get some of this, especially if you're going to store the boat, which shame on you if you're like me and you're keeping it stored way too much these days. Drop some in there. Ethanol will gum up the works. StarTron kicks it in the teeth. We're going to have some StarTron goodies to give away. Starbright StarTron goodies to give away there at the Classic Party, as always, for live. They have been a great partner of this show for many, many years, and I'm grateful for those people, to say the least. ProGuide Batteries making fine lithium batteries, AGM batteries, and they've been in the battery business for a very, 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 very long time. I say it week in and week out, you do have a lot of lithium companies out there. You have a lot of fly-by-night battery companies. I got this one, does this. Man, it'll run your whole house. Oh, man, look at this. It's powerful. It's got all the power. There's so many lithium battery companies out there. ProGuide been in business longer than all of them. They got into the lithium game. They took their time. Their lithiums are right. They got a new lithium cranking battery coming out at the Classic. It's going to be freaking phenomenal. I got one sitting right here. Talked about it last week. It meets all the specs that Mercury requires for your warranty and all that jazz. It's going to be awesome. You can check it out at the Classic there, or you can get on the website and get your own batteries. Use code LBL10 at ProGuideBatteries.com. BaitWorks.com. Bait-Works.com. Springfield, Missouri. Got to stop in there a couple weeks ago. Talked about that. Spent way too much money. Those folks got it going on. They got the LOB jig front and center in the store. They got it on the website. They had it at Red Crest. So many of you reached out that you picked up some jigs at Red Crest. BaitWorks will not have a booth at the Bassmaster Classic, but I will have LOB jigs in the TH Marine booth. So if you want to check them out, you can do so there. But I got to give a huge shout out to the folks at BaitWorks. It's the time of year where you're going to be getting your tackle ready. There's all kind of new and fancy and flashy. I saw they got the new Bass Mafia Zal Dangerous swim baits. in stock last week. So get on there, check them out. That's something you want to look at. They got the goods. A new Zoom Unitoad. I got a couple packs of those while I was up there. Can't wait to try that thing out here as the weather continues to warm in Tennessee. But you can use code Duncan-10 at bait-works.com to let them know you're a lowlifer and save some cash there. And last but not least, hang the banner. That Bassmaster Classic winning all welded high performance aluminum bass boat, the X21 Pro LE, built in Hot Springs, Arkansas, by some of the finest folks in the business. They hang those 250 Yamaha show on the back to give it the best hole shot in the game, in my opinion. Sea deck bow to stern, big old live wells, more tackle storage than you could ever need, and 96 inches up there on the beam. This is not your granddaddy's aluminum boat. Trust me on that. Take a ride in one, and you will understand why an Express X21 is the official boat of Low Budget Live, and why people say they've been building excitement since 1966. We're going to have some excitement there in their booth at the Classic as well. 1 p.m. on Saturday, the 25th, live podcast. It's going to be, if it's anything like it is every year, just kind of crazy. Just kind of crazy. There's just going to be a lot of people in and out. It's normally a revolving door of guests, and sometimes I don't even know who's coming up next. But we have a good damn time in the Express booth every year, the last couple there at the Classic. So be sure to come out, make some racket, 1 p.m. there in the Express Boats booth. Can't wait. I'm sure we'll be propped up on an X21. Come see it for yourself. All right. All right, moving on. Lots going on in the fishing world. And something that I really sponsor-wise, I had an idea, not necessarily for my show, but if any of you have seen some of the goings-on on Facebook and some of the drama from down there at the Southern Open, drama from the first Southern Open. Hank Weldon was on this very show and was like, oh, everybody's going to behave and nobody's going to break any rules and there's not going to be any craziness. And then one of the craziest things that's ever happened in bass fishing history happened. All on video. And, you know, a sponsor for the show, potentially, you know, you see billboards all over the place. I'm a big Breaking Bad guy. Always like Better Call Saul, the lawyer, if you're familiar with that. But want to be a bass pro? Better Call Joe. Ding. Crazy video if you've seen it. I'm not going to share it here. But crazy video made its rounds on the Facebooks. And, I got it sent to me, a few times by some competitors in that tournament. And the situation is this, if you haven't seen it, there's a competitor, Tucker Smith, I'll say his name right here, who has been disqualified, at the time of this recording from his day two weight disqualified from the event. Over some things that happened, he is appealing. I'm not sure how that DQ will go down. But this video very blatantly shows a man who is a lawyer, allegedly, down in that Eufaula area. And he is harassing, very clearly, a contestant who is trying to fish next to Tucker on a spot that he says he was on day one. The man harassing is just being completely a crazy pants, which sounds like allegedly happens a good bit down there at Eufaula. There's a lot of confrontations that happen on that lake over spots and things with all kind of people. But he claims to be a man named Ryan Ingram, and he is very much not Ryan Ingram. From the grapevine, it sounds like him and Ryan Ingram might not even be buds. He also claims in said video that he does not know the little guy, Tucker Smith, who was staying at his house during the event. I guess people don't realize, myself included, like, you know, videos happen. But what's amazing about this to me is that you think in this day and time you can A, act like a complete and total buffoon, and then release a video of your own, basically just saying, you'll sue the pants off of anybody. I am a lawyer. I will sue the pants off anybody, and I can act how I want to act, and completely fudge the entire thing. Lie in the video about who you are and that you don't know the competitor that's actually in the tournament that you should not even be meddling with, right? And then in your video to try to whatever, and I think that video has been taken down now, say, well, I love him like family. He's like family to me. It's all bizarre. And it smells like a skunk for a lot of different reasons. And I don't know Tucker. I've had some back and forth with Tucker. I like Tucker. I like Tucker Smith. I think he's a good little fisherman. Obviously, he's one of the million-dollar winners there for the Bass Pro Shops tournament. I like Tucker. He's always nice when I see him, and I don't mean any ill will towards Tucker in this, but where there is smoke, there is fire, and when something smells like a turd, most likely you stepped in it somewhere. And this dude, if he acts like this a lot in life, and this is the kind of person you associate with, you might ought to change your direction and your crew, because this was bad for a lot of reasons. This is bad, and this put a lot of pressure on Bass to do something, because it just stinks, man. It's one thing if you get help from a local at a lake, or you got a buddy that lives somewhere and you stay with them, but it's another for a guy to be out there in the competition, not watching you. Not just watching you. I've had buddies come out and watch me when I fish, and it's cool. Family members and whatever. But to meddle with what's going on. Man, just, it's a bad look. It's a bad look. There's no way to spin what's on camera. It's like, whatever I say here, I said it. You can, and there are times like you could cut clips of this and say, oh, well, it was taken out of context. And that's very much a reality. When you act like a complete and total moron on the water and then try to justify, there's no spinning that. There's no spinning that. But having an outside force, and we play our game on public waters, but having an outside force who's already, I would dare say, helping Tucker, you know, they're buddies. He's going to tell, if I got a buddy on Pickwick, I'm going to be like, yeah, man, go fish here, go fish there. He's already assisting the young man, I'm sure, in where he should go, you know, prior to it going off limits and all that stuff. I'm sure. They fish together a lot down there, it seems, via, you know, looking at social media. But he's already kind of, you know, he's kind of gave him a leg up in that situation. But to be out there and to try to intimidate another young man from fishing this area, it's a bad look. It's a bad look. I hear there's a lot more to the video that's not gone public that is really bad. And I've heard that. I've not seen that. I've been told that by multiple people. And it's just a shame. It's a damn shame, man. And I do think that lawyers feel like they're above the law. And in my personal experience with a lot of lawyers, and I probably have some that listen to the show, you know, especially small town guys, they're chumps. Like they do. They feel like they can do whatever and litigate their way out of it. And it's just, you know, proof's in the pudding, man. Like, it just is what it is. Like, sometimes you got to take a solid L and go, yeah, I'm a jackass, and move along. But just weird, though. This thing could be like a Netflix documentary by the time it's all said and done. I swear to God. Like, it's been so crazy. Like, you get in the comments of the Facebook post. I was flying when all this went down, and I was bored. So I was on Wi-Fi, and I'm in the comments. I just thought it was funny. And so much of it's funny. And there are fake pages, very clearly fake pages, defending this guy and commenting back and forth. I'm like, I was a witness. Dude, it's bizarre. It's bizarre the links that have been gone to stir this. And what's sad to me, and I've been in a lot of hot water for things I've said on this show, obviously. And I'm always fortunate that I have people rush to my defense. And there's one overwhelming theme in this is nobody, this guy that acted like a total buffoon, there's not been anybody other than fake pages and his girlfriend, it would appear, to defend him. Everybody, my inbox has been slammed with people from that general area like, yeah, it was no surprise. Like, it's crazy, man. So allegedly, you know, it's kind of a turd head. And look, before I get litigated, you can say somebody's an asshole. And allegedly you're an asshole. And you affected the outcome of a bass tournament. Period, end of story, like you did. You did. Whether I know that the big talk was, were you hole sitting? Were you not? All that. I don't know about any of that. I know you're an asshole. That's what I know. And I know you think that you can get away with it by suing folks. Like, I just think it's a joke. One of the saddest things that I've seen, two things that came out of this are very sad to me. First of all, this jack wagon owns Aaron Martin's last boat, and he's doing these things in a boat wrap that's Aaron's. And Aaron was one of the finest people on planet Earth that would never condone something like this, ever. Ever, okay? I knew him well. Would have never condoned this, ever, okay? The second thing is, and this is an angle that nobody's really talked about or thinking about in this, and it hit me as I was flying home the other day. Somebody had sent me a link to some marina down there. They had said that this gentleman couldn't fish their tournaments anymore because of his actions, and then they said, ah, well, we'll let him back, I'm sure, because I got threatened, whatever. Who knows? Small town politics kind of stuff, and happens in every little town. But there was a couple of just locals that aren't fishermen that commented on this, and they were tagging the mayor of Eufaula, who's a bass fisherman, a great guy. They were tagging him in it. They were tagging the Chamber of Commerce, and they're like, great look for our community. Great look for our lake. That's why these bass tournaments shouldn't come. Taken out of context, they're looking at, it's a boat wrap, it's a guy running his mouth, cussing, going crazy on another person. It looks like it's two competitors fighting. This video's gone over 100,000 views. It's you know, it's viral in the fishing world. And outsiders are seeing it that don't know our sport. And look, there are confrontations on the water all the time. This is crazy. Like when it's captured like this, and there's a lot, man, dude, there are Karens on boat docks yelling at people. These videos come out, but these situations, when they escalate like they have and they get outside of our realm, cause we all think it's funny. We think the guy's a jackass. Hopefully justice will be served if there's any wrongdoing there at all, to violate a rule in the tournament. You know, as far as the anglers associating with this dude are concerned, and hopefully Bass will do the right thing there. And it sounds like they have, and there's an appeal process, and we'll see by a couple days after this podcast airs, he may be scot-free. I don't know, still in the top 10 in the tournament. I don't know. But it's just, it's for outsiders, it makes us look really stupid. And we're already seen in a lot of light as just kind of a not a serious sport to some people, or they don't understand it. And you get, you know, some of the comments you read, oh, they buzz around in their brightly colored bass boats, are dangerous, they're this. And then when you see a guy threatening and just, you know, I'm going to run circles around you all day, and I'm this, and just acting crazy, and you see that. And that's the example that people in that community who host a lot of bass tournaments. It's that lake is one of the most important fixtures in bass fishing. Historically, currently, whatever. It's Mecca. And there are people that have a bad taste because of one of their own that lived down there acted like an asshole. It's all caught on tape. All caught on tape. So, yeah, I've had a lot of people like, what's your take on it? My take is that. Like, my take is it makes us look bad. It puts Bassmaster in a terrible position. And here's my thing. I don't know why. Because his original story when he posted a video is he was out there just fishing and he did not even know where Tucker was at, the man that he didn't know. It's bizarre. You're fishing when your buddy's trying to win a tournament to go to the Bassmaster class. This kid that you love like family in the same video is trying to go to the Bassmaster class, and you're just fishing in the general area, but then you see injustice done, so you go to get in it, even though this dude, other competitor, fished the spot the first day, which you should have known that because you're out there riding around too, allegedly. I don't know. It just stinks. It stinks. And it's like JT Kenney said on this show in January, we cover up the crap in bass fishing that we should be covering. And this is one I ain't going to pass up talking about. I don't get it. I don't care if a guy's an attorney. I don't care if he's got money. I don't care if he's a big deal in a small town. You're an asshole. And now, regardless of how the DQ shakes out and all that, Tucker Smith, who is a good fisherman, obviously, there'll always be this around it. Like, you took away from, think about that, dude. You took away from whether there was a rule infraction, whatever, you took away from the one that you say is like your family member. Like, and then, you know, fake pages defend it and no, nothing else. Like, it's weird, man. It's a super, super crazy deal. And, you know, that's my two cents on it. Want to be a pro, better call Joe. I forget what Better Call Saul's tagline was. There'll probably be billboards, you know. Want to fish that brush pile? Better call Joe. Bow, 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 bow. Alexander Shana, na, 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 na. Just billboards all over the place. Yeah, it's interesting. Interesting. All right, moving on from that garbage. And it is, you know, it's sad. It's bad. I've seen some really funny memes, seen a lot of things. The other sad part of this, before I end on this, is that Ryan Ingram, who is one of, if not the, other than like Tom Mann and a couple of other guys from Eufaula, Ryan Ingram's a legend on Eufaula. He just is. And I've been around Ryan a lot over the years, fished a lot of tournaments against Ryan. And the fact that this dude acted like it was him and then tried to act like it was a tip of the hat to him and all this crap, it's just, it's silly, man. It's silly. And Ryan got crucified in the comments because when the guy says, I'm Ryan Ingram, not on the lake. I'm a big boy. I'm a big boy. It's just so stupid. I don't care if your mama made this spot. Your mom shouldn't have let you out of the basement, dog. Calm down. I got bass boat. Silly, man. So silly. It's been a fun week, though. It's been hilarious reading comments and getting memes and whatnot sent to you. It's been a fun week. But hopefully justice will prevail. That's what most lawyers want, right? Justice. So hopefully justice will prevail and we'll see how it all shakes out, man. We will. There's a lot more to it, though. I will say, I do know things. There's a lot more to it. There's a lot more to it. And I think that there's a lot more details that are really funny, actually. But we'll get into those at a later date, hopefully, if things continue to escalate. All right. So Red Crest is going on as I record this. I think it's day 3 or 4 of it. And some hammers trying to fish for 300K in Lake Norman. It's always so close there. Golly. And I've seen people in the comments. I always have to read comments when I'm bored, especially like a week like this when I'm flying around. And people just like, oh, this little fish don't like it. And it's only taking this kind of weight. And it's the best pro. It's just the playing field. But, man, it's been the first couple of days that I got to watch, a lot of fun to keep up with. And I'd say by the time you're listening to this, it was probably dramatic going into the end because it was so tight in the standings. And I like the format. I feel like it's really long, but I like the. I mean, it's a freaking grinder. It's 5 days, and they go first 2 days cumulative weight, top 20. Then you win on a 3-day cumulative total, like the old Forcewood Cup or the Bassmaster Classic. You got to catch them, dude, for 5 days. It's a freaking gauntlet. And I think it's a pretty cool format. I'm not going to lie. Hopefully the expo went well. Hopefully y'all, you know, you got over there and got your hands on all them LOBs. I had some of you message me about it, but I hope that you paid for them. Hope you didn't just walk off with them. All right, we got MPFL coming up this week. Something that I gotta drop in here, that I want to drop in here. A new weigh-in show, and I made a post about it, but a new weigh-in show with myself and Fat Cat It's going to be available. Our production company is Fix Productions, Fix TV, and they have a new app called the Fix TV app. And this will be available on there. But it basically will be Fat Cat and I, kind of like the Peyton Manning, Eli Monday Night Watch Party, Monday Night Football Watch Party. That's the concept behind this. But Fat Cat and I will be watching the weigh-in and kind of goofing off, having fun, trying not to get fired, trying not to make too many jokes about your mom making a spot and things like that. But it'll be a good time, man. It'll be a good time. Of course, live coverage returns. We're going to do live on days 2 and 3. Got a small field this year, 80 boats, 78 boats, something like that. Lot of fish catchers in this field. It's going to be a good damn time. And they kick off down at Pickwick Lake. The tournament dates are the 15th through the 17th. Wednesday to Friday to kind of get off that Bassmaster Classic practice. But if you guys are in the area, Florence, Alabama, be sure to go check them boys out. I will be in the studio in Wisconsin up there in the damn snow and ice when a tournament's 40 minutes from my house. Yes, it makes no sense to y'all, but for production value, we like to be in the studio. So me and Fat Cat will be up there. It's gonna be a large time, a large time. All right, let's get the sauce from somebody presented by the W Sauce. This guy, speaking of MPFL, this man has won over $2 million everywhere. You can't just say with one tournament trail because this dude fishes all of them. Every damn one of them. Now has added NPFL to his already insane schedule so he can run around with his little buddy Keith Carson and other Elite Series cohort, Patrick Walters. Lots of big timers going to play in the NPFL this year to go with them big timers that are already in the NPFL that'll freaking cross their eyes at every tournament. But this man is someone that I feel like everybody in the sport loves. Nobody has a damn bad thing to say about this guy ever. And if you do, get out of my life, because he's one of my favorite people ever. Ladies and gentlemen, one of two Coxes, I don't know how to say that we will have on the MPFL this year, Florida's very own John Cox. All right, as promised, here he is, the man from DeBary, Florida himself, the daggum one of two. Did you ever think that you could say that in a professional bass fishing event, that you will be one of two coxes out there just cox fighting around?
It's crazy.
John Cox, everybody. What's up, buddy?
Hey, man, what's happening?
Listen, whenever I said that, whenever you and I were texting, I'm like, dude, are you going to fish with us? Yeah, we're going back and forth. And when I did a show after the roster came out, I said, I can assure you one thing. I don't know what's going to happen with the MPFL this year, but we will have the most Cox. All the Cox in the MPFL this year. And it is going to be hard on my part. I pray you guys both don't end up on camera.
Yeah.
It'll be hilarious. I'll get fired for all the Cox jokes I'm going to make all day long. But, that's going to be tricky. We're going to Florida, John.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of, like something else to go by, or like, you know, is this, you know, I don't know. There's just
He is taller than you, so I may have to call you Lil John. Like there may to be. So the first year, Dudley and I called him the other John Cox. All year, and he loved it. I was like, John, I'm going to call you the other John Cox. And then I was calling him the original John Cox because he's older than you. I was like, well, he's here before him.
Oh,
so I get the OG, the original John Cox in fishing.
Yeah.
We're gonna have fun, dude. So why? Why on earth do you think you need to fish another tournament trail? I'm glad you're there. I can't wait. But, dude, you added one more thing. You're not fishing BPT because of conflicts, but you're fishing the Invitationals, and now you're going to jump in with Keith over here in the MPFL.
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly pretty much Keith's fault, you know. I mean, I didn't really look at much of it, you know, or even where we're going. And Keith was like, "Hey, man, there's, you know, you can make five of the six," and you know, and he was like, "Yo, it'd be cool, we could travel together." And I was like, "Okay." So,
and a small field this year, mm-hmm. which I feel like helps you guys. Not that you need help, but I know the way you guys like to fish that shallow water deal, that really helps, right? Like it opens up that much more water.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's going to be great. The smaller field, you know, you can pretty much a lot of the stuff that was like, oh, that's an obvious spot. You know, you actually get to fish some of that stuff now and, you know, get beat up in practice and stuff as much. And yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be cool. Like, I mean, you know, with the field so small, I mean, gosh, even dumping in the morning, weighing, everything's going to just go so much smoother. And yeah, it's going to be exciting.
So, yeah, I think we do have one conflict with the elite. So you can fish five mm-hmm. of the six. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to work your butt off to make the championship because that's a lot of money on the line with that deal. It's going to be cool, too. But let's talk about the chance, 100 grand, 70-something dudes. Like, that's got to be factoring in there, too, for you, right? Like,
well, yeah, I mean, it's like fishing a championship, you know, and it's really neat. And I don't know, you know, if I get lucky and maybe win one would be great. You know, the main goal is to just try to break even on those, you know, because we're really packing them in there, you know. And
that's always your goal, though, right? Not to
get it really
is always your goal, I feel like.
Pretty much. Yeah. And but man, I mean, how exciting, you know, 70. Someone out of 70, I think six guys, 75 guys, whatever it is.
Yeah, 76, 77. I should know that. Yeah. I work for them. I don't know.
But one of those guys, I mean, 100 grand really changes your life. I mean, I know first time I won 100 grand, I got to move out of my mom's house, my dad's house. I bought a house down the road, you know. Now houses are a little more, but you're still.
It's a good down payment.
Yeah, it's a really good down payment, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, so I mean, it's super cool. It's going to change someone's life, every one of those tournaments.
Well, looking at Pickwick, I know it's not your favorite place in the world. not bad times. Now, I think it was FLW last year. You called them. I was like, okay. Yeah. The Elite Series a couple years ago in the same time frame, maybe you want to forget that one.
It was terrible.
What is it about the Tennessee River? Because you, dude, Chick, right up the road, one of your favorite places. But what is it about this Tennessee River Lake and Pickwick that you don't maybe like connect with? What's because Pickwick's different, I feel like, than a lot of the other lakes on the chain.
Oh, it really is. What I learned or seem to realize about Pickwick is that for me, when the current gets running, it trumps everything. Everything that's happening anywhere else in the lake. And I refuse to believe that, you know, and that's why I finished dead last. When the current's running, I finished dead last. But I'm going up this year. I'm only bringing my crank and stuff, my spinner baits, you know, a couple of new slobber knockers, and I'm going to fish in the current.
You refuse to be beaten by the current again. See, that's so for a Tennessee River guy, that's the Florida thing, right? When I go down there, it's very much like the first time I ever went to Okeechobee. Oh, you're not supposed to be able to catch them in dirty water. Watch this.
Yeah.
We catch them in dirty water in Tennessee, suckers. And then zero. And you're like, oh, yeah. So I get it. Like you come in with same notions. You're like, oh, well, shallow fish. And then they turn the current on and it's like, oh, these fish are really stupid. They do weird things. And they do weird things on the Tennessee River.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
It can be like tidal water too. Pickwick for me, like being a shallow water angler who loves to fish like you do. I'm also, you know, I fish the dams. I've done all that my whole life, but I love like Pickwick's got a lot of beautiful cover. Like some of the prettiest stuff you'll see in the country.
Right.
And they jack with the water so much that you could catch them somewhere for 5 minutes and then never get another bite there the rest of the week. Like it's
bizarre
how it works. It really is.
Pickwick definitely fluctuates, especially that Florence end of the lake, more than anywhere I've ever seen. You know, like you say, you might flip to that bush and catch one in the morning. And then by the afternoon, it's 3 foot up on land, you know?
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. It's very much like tidal water. The guys that understand it, they're dangerous, man. They really, how the current affects them, how the lake levels and you're right there at the tail race when they flip a switch, it can raise or lower. Like things get wild. I've seen some crazy things happen. Guys getting stuck up in shallow little hidey holes. Like, oh, I'm gonna be good, and they're like,
yeah,
you're there. You're there forever.
You're stuck. You can ask Keith about that. I think he ruined one of the boats there.
Oh, at,
those spots.
One of the boats.
Yeah, one of them there.
So let's talk about that dynamic. I had both of you guys on when he came over to fish the pro circuit, the invitationals, whatever they're called now. I can't keep up. I think it's the invitation. Yeah. Not warehouse invitation.
Invitationals.
And I was like, how is it working out, guys? Both of you. And you said on this show, you said it's not. Has it gotten any better being able to kind of work together and go, hey, this is how this is going to shake out, or what's the deal?
Well, so I think, last year it was like he would top 10 or I would top 10, and never both catch him. Like, it was just like, I was trying to stay out of his way or he tried to stay out of my way. We do terrible. This last tournament went really well. I got up there kind of late because coming from Seminole. He already practiced like an area and got kind of dialed in. And he like sent it to me. He's like, look, this is where I'm fishing. And I'm like, wow, that's like 6 miles. How about you give me a little bit of that? And he's like, well, I'm going to run all of it. And I was like, okay. And I was like, what about these two pockets here? And he's like, I didn't go in them. And I was like, okay, I'll go in them. So that's what I ended up fishing. And we both did good. I didn't see
the entire tournament.
Yeah. Yeah. We both did good. Oh no, we both just missed the top 10.
Okay.
But we had cameras. Like, we did really good in the tournament. And I was kind of disappointed because I wanted to see him. Like, I wanted to see him that midday. Be like, hey, man, you got any? And we never ran into each other. But we were in the same area. It was crazy. But it was a lot of fun. I actually really enjoyed that tournament. I hope we go back to Clarksville. That place, I don't think people realize how many fish are in that lake.
Well, I had that on my notes here to talk to you about, because I fished Hartwell a bunch, just like you have, mm-hmm. and everybody has. But Clark's Hill, back in the day, I can remember talking to like guys like Gagliardi, Thrift about it. Like, it used to be the lake. Like, it was the one over there. And then they had some Bassmaster. I think Davey Hype maybe won a Bassmaster there.
Yeah.
Or Mop Pig. Yeah. Years ago on a herring spawn deal. But man, you guys railed them over there. Like, it was fun to watch.
Yeah. What I was shocked was how, for me, I didn't get to practice much, but I didn't really find a lot of dead water. It was like you could go into an arm and get a bite, and that's super cool. That it seemed like I had so many fish and so huge. Like, I saw one guy the whole time. Yeah. And I mean, there's 150, 60 of us. And like, it was incredible how big that place is. I mean, you got dirty water in the back of every creek in there, I mean, it was a really cool place.
Yeah, it was, and to have the spotted bass and big largemouth. Hell, Dakota Ebear weighed some hammers, obviously.
Yeah, to
win that thing. By the way, as we're recording this, Red Crest is going on while everybody's listening. Red Crest is finished. When everybody listens to this on Monday, that dude's on a little bit of a roll right now. They better watch him over there for that 300K.
I feel like
maybe he's already won it when people are listening.
I don't know.
But he made a big jump the right before recording this. He made a big jump to get into those knockout rounds and all that. That dude is the second he came on in the tour, I think he fished the last year I did, was his first year. Immediately starts getting checks. He's consistent. And that dude is just kind of getting into a little bit of a rhythm. I think it's going to be scary for a lot of folks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, he definitely, I think it's kind of cool when you see, when you see an angler like kind of learn themselves and be like, hey, this is what I'm doing, and that's what he's doing. I mean, he's just catching them. That's really cool.
Yeah. And at Clark's Hill, he was offshore with the live scope deal, but he was also on the bank. Like, he called me on the bank. He was mixing it up. Cause most of the time I feel like I do see him offshore. Like, he's an electronics guy. He does really seem to enjoy that. But you do too. Big forward facing sonar guy.
Yeah.
Those blue, you catch one on camera, is one of the coolest clips of the year. Big one comes up and eats a bluegill in front of you.
Yeah.
You just flip out there.
Hey, I was like, no one would believe this. I could tell that story at the weigh-in and they'd be like, yeah, right.
No cameraman over your shoulder. Nobody's believing John on that one.
No, no.
You said that's what those guys out there in the middle are fishing for.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I already knew that. I'm like, oh, I need to just try to get as close as I can to get paid and go to the next.
Because you figured they were going to slam them.
Oh, yeah, that's what I just figured. I was like, if that's what lives out there, that, you know, 6, 7, 10 feet of water, whatever it is, it was, you know.
You're screwed.
I was in trouble, yeah. That's the biggest one I caught all week. It was in the deepest water, too.
No kidding? That was the biggest fish of the week.
Yeah, biggest one I caught all week.
Interesting, man. So, do you have any intentions whatsoever of trying to go back and fish everything? Just BPT, MPFL, Elite Series Invitationals? Do you ever see, especially with the five fish thing now, which I know you had success in the other format, but now everything's kind of the same?
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed the change, you know, going over and fishing some of those and catching some can. But, I mean, I would love to do them all again. It just really depends on how the schedules play out. And, you know, and that's kind of what I've been doing. And, you know, I mean, it's been tough. I mean, I've been watching Red Crest, you know, this week. And, man, it's kind of miserable. I mean, I love being home, but it's miserable knowing there's such a big tournament going on and not being a part of it. And
it kind of in your wheelhouse this week, too, a little bit.
Yeah, I love Lake Norman. I love
that place. Great.
Yeah. So,
yeah, Brian Thrift beat me there one time for 100-something grand. And an FLW there in the fall. He beats a lot of people there for a lot of money. But that lake is, and I've seen comments on there, oh man, small fish. It's that take that aside. Like, dude, it's such a cool playing field with so many bites. It's like you said about there's not a lot of dead water on that lake. I don't feel like now they do seem to congregate by size and areas and things, but.
Right.
So cool. You can catch spots, power fishing. You can try to find a unicorn largemouth every now and then. I think we saw Edwin Avers caught like a 6 the first day. Like, it's got big ones in it.
Right.
But such a cool body of water, dude. I've had a lot of fun over there the times I've gone. So, yeah, I figure you have been foaming at the mouth watching.
I was. Yeah, I was just saying. Because like you said, like, I remember one of the days I had a practice over there, you know, where I was throwing my general around. I bet I shook 100 off.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I mean, probably the most bites I've ever had on it in one day. And it has been tough watching it.
I guarantee it. Have you been surprised whenever the announcement came out? Were you surprised, I should say, that the format changed? Did you think they would stick to their guns on that after fishing and being over there? Were you shocked to see they were going to go to five?
And I didn't know if they would go to all of it like that. Yeah. But I mean, so far it seems like it's been pretty good. I mean, the one with Chris Lane won and stuff. I mean, that was insane. You know, it still has
buzzer beater. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Crazy. I mean, yeah. So that, I mean, it worked out really well on that one. You know, but yeah, I think the guys are happy with it and, you know, they're enjoying it. And, you know, now they get to go fish for, you know, just, you know, five big ones. And, I mean, I don't know. Looks like a lot of fun.
Same game we've always played. I think interesting for me though is the score tracker element of it, right? Like that,
right?
That they know, oh gosh, my 11 pounds is getting my ass kicked, and get to watch the guys make decisions based off of that. Because it's more relatable for old school tournament fishermen that grew up in the five fish format, which is basically everybody,
right?
Oh my gosh, how would those demons get to you if somebody says,
oh, yeah,
hey, John Cox has got 17 pounds and you're fishing a row of docks right by me? And maybe I already fished them and didn't have a bite. And you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that part. That part would be,
can you imagine?
Or you know an area a guy's in, you know, that you want to fish, but you're kind of waiting for him to move out and he's just lighting them up, you know?
It does change the game in that aspect, because nothing gets to me more than if I do run into you and you're like, yeah, I got 19 already, and it's like 9:30, and I'm like, what the hell am I doing with my life? And I got 2, which is, you know, obviously that was the case more times than not fishing against you. All the times I fished against you, I never beat you one time. But but that's that. I can't imagine some guy in the back of the boat, Luke, John just caught another one for 7 pounds, 3 ounces. And you're like, I got to find my generals. My general, I don't have them. Oh my God, it wouldn't matter. I can't use them like John anyways. Dude, it's cool to me to see that bait become just so synonymous with you. Like, it's just like they should put your face on all the packaging, because it is like it is. It's just the John. Like once you once you lock in with a bait like that, it's just yours forever. Like nobody else can lay claim to the general. And they are. I've talked to you off camera because you're sponsored. All anglers are sponsored, and all fishermen are liars. That's always the joke, right? But yeah. I've asked you, like, when you first started, like, yeah, I'd catch them on a general. I was like, John, you really catch them on a general? Yeah. Really something I need? And you're like, dude, yeah. So now I've got a bag full of them, and it is it's the deal.
Yeah, they really did really well with them, just with everything, you know, just how it sinks faster. And, you know, just it's like a different plastic, you know, it's not your traditional plastic. Right. And I think that makes a huge difference. And, you know, and then the more natural, neutral colors. I mean, I have so much. You know what it is I take my kids fishing and that's what they throw, you know, and I would get whooped by them quite a bit.
That's wild.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, I'm all in.
and there is something too that you're right. The colors are natural. There's not a lot of wild colors. They're kind of dull, is the way I would put it too. You know,
almost like a flat kind of flat finish.
Yeah, and they do, man. They get bit. Are you ever? And I say this a lot on the show. I don't go in nuts and bolts of fishing. There's a million shows out there that do on the actual technique side. But do you nail weight much? I mean, are you just kind of straight up? You got a hook you like to make it sink at the rate you like?
Yeah, so I don't do much of the nail stuff anymore. I might Nico rig it if I need to get it down in like some deeper, you know, like some 3.5, you know, maybe a little. But for the most part, the way the general how they built it so that it sinks faster and everything, you don't really need the weight. You know, you can just wacky rig it, Texas rig it. I Texas rig it with no weight. That's like one of my favorite things, and almost working like a jerk shad or like a, you know, a soft jerk bait style. Yeah. That's like kind of one of my favorites, that, you know, if I'm not throwing it wacky, I'm throwing it that way. And every once in a while I put a little bullet weight on it, but for the most part, I just keep it super simple.
When the Cinco first came out, that was my, before the wacky craze started years ago, 15 years ago or whatever, Texas rigging it, just throwing it just straight up. Like that was always my favorite. Especially like Wheeler Lake was always fun with that. Wilson, like around seawalls and docks up there spawning where you couldn't see them. Yeah. We didn't know to whack your, like that was just what we did. Like just, I put it on a 3 or 4 ounce hook and throw it on 20-pound fluoro and wait for the thing to swim off and jerk. And reel a lot in one day. That's a killer way to fish it. I think gets overshadowed a little bit now because of the obsession with the wacky or Nico
stuff. Oh yeah. Well, just with all the broad red, all the stuff we have now, it's hard. I mean, I even find myself like, you know, like, do I really want to throw this? But you know, when it comes down to it, it's like, I just want to catch them, you know?
And I will say that about Berkeley. Damn, man. There's no shortage of new things for you to experiment.
Oh, yeah. Well, you wait till this iCast. It's going to – we got some stuff caught. I've been testing some of the swim bait stuff that's coming. Edwin Evers caught one.
I saw one.
And that's, I was like, I thought we weren't supposed to talk about that yet. But some awesome stuff coming.
You shared that on Instagram and I saw it and I was like, wait a second. You said, zoom in. And I'm like, so I zoom in. I'm like, all right. I hear you.
Yeah.
The
colors that they were able to get, it'd blow your mind when you see them. It's
really?
Yeah. I haven't got to test any of the colors. I got the plain white one, the test ones, and they were eating that up. Yeah. I was like, I can't imagine when you get some color on it.
It's definitely going to be interesting to see how it compares to the, because it looks similar. It looks similar to some other, that style that's popular. I won't go into detail.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they made a post with it, but they didn't really, like you did, zoom in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like, we might as well show this since Edwin's cracking them on it. That bite is one of my favorite bites now that I've discovered in the last 3 or 4 years. I like that. I like it's fun.
Yeah. I didn't really know much about it until I started, you know, and they're like, you can skip it. And I'm like, really? You know, like, they're like, it skips like the general. And I'm like, nah, there's no way. And man, you can send that sucker up under the docks. I mean, it's impressive how you can skip something that big on a bait caster under some of that stuff. But it is a lot of fun.
Will they have a lot of different sizes in it, or would it just be kind of one standard size? Or?
No, there'll be a couple sizes, yeah. But once you get it and see, and you're like, and you see how it's designed, you're like, oh, that's why it swims so well. Like it's cool. Like it's they did a really good job.
Do you have any signature stuff coming at ICAST?
I got my rods and you got a spinning rod and a cranking rod, but I think that might have been last ICAST. But that's all I got. I
just some signature rods and reels.
Yeah.
Big deal.
Yeah.
The fact that you have a signature cranking rod still just blows.
I promise I will be cranking probably the entire Pickwick tournament.
I know you will be. You're a cranking.
It's one of those things where it's like there is a lot of other things you can throw, but gosh, you pick up those fish that swipe at it a lot of times, you know, that wouldn't, you know, might not take a spinner bait, might not take your slobber knock or whatever. So it's just, I really like throwing it.
Well, now that you're this cranking fiend, you're like David Fritz Jr. Do you, I'll put you on the spot because I feel like a lot of people at home, you're Mr. Pure Fish and you are, and I know you're a Fritz side, God almighty, you catch them on it. So does Keith. I watch this all the time on MPFL with him. Have you picked up any other crankbaits from other brands though? And in the boat, like, are you that deep into the cranking deal? Or are you just like Berkeley or Die Fritz? Cause the Fritz sounds great, dude. It's one of the best plugs ever been designed, period. Ever. Like it's killer. It's right. So do you like, oh, I'll give me some of them little DT sixes or something. Yeah. Do you have other baits?
So I tried a lot of them other ones in the past, you know, and I used some, I caught some fish on them. But it was something, the Fritz side, like the first time I threw it, me and Brad and Keith, we caught like 20 something pounds. So I'm like, okay. And then I went one, Rayburn with it.
Yeah.
And a couple months later, Keith won, wherever the heck he won. I don't know. He won somewhere. Yeah. So like if for, to me, I have a Fritz side box. And that's what I bring.
That little deep one's sneaky.
I just mostly throw the five, but in all the different, you know, the junior, the regular, the biggin. But I have to say, crankbait wise, well, the Money Badger, I'm pretty sure that's out. I think that was more of like for trolling walleye. And they turned it into a bass lure. And, man, it's crazy how weedless, like as fast as you can crank and it doesn't get hung up, like grinding into rocks and stuff. So I've thrown that a lot. I've caught a lot of, other species on it and some bass, you know. But, it seems like everything eats it. But that's a cool one. I'm probably going to throw that some more. And then I think ICAST, we got a couple that, you know, might replace DT6 and some other stuff similar.
Whoa! Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. You're going to get in trouble, but I'm getting.
Edit that out. Bleep that part out.
Not going to have here. Yeah. Hang on a second.
Yeah. There we go.
Hey, Berkeley's got some coming out. ICAST 2023. John Cox. The Cox. Cox prank.
Yeah. Oh,
the DC6.
Yeah.
Damn Cox. Like, my God. Okay. So gotta ask you this. You've got a history. You got a lot of histories about a lot of things. But you have a history of being you know, you're with Crestliner, you just plowing through the damn jungle to get to these spots. And I heard a story, and you told a little bit of it there at Seminole, but you may have f***ed up. Was that the biggest of all time that you've done? Because I've seen you. I watched you one time at Chickamauga for all the folks at home here, the low lifers. You pulled up. I was a co-angler at the time, and we were pulling into the Dayton boat dock, and your boat was actually on fire. Your console was smoking. You're like, hey, dude, you see this smoke? And I'm like, God, like, you gotta get your boat out of the water. You're on fire. I think we've told that on the podcast before, but I'm accustomed to, he doesn't have a transducer. He's going to do what he's got to do to get to the fish. You ever knocked a hole in one like that?
I have, I hit one at Ray Roberts one time that was pretty bad. But nothing like at Seminole. Seminole, you know, just to set it up, I left my house at 2 a.m, drove through the morning, got to the ramp, saw the weather. I'm like, man, this is like, you know, this is going to be an epic week. I can't wait to drop the trolling motor and start fishing. And I'm running the channel in, and I don't know if I made a boo-boo and went on the wrong side of one of the channel markers or what. Like, I don't know. It's 10 minutes into the morning. I haven't even put the trolling motor in
first
yet.
Day of practice.
First day of practice. And I jumped this stump in Spring Creek that, you know, I hit it going about 40, and the whole boat jumps out of the water, comes down, and I'm thinking like, okay, it's okay. You know, like, you know, it was kind of scary, but it wasn't bad. It was just like, I hit it on plane, didn't hit the motor. Well, the bilge came on. So then I was like, you know, I'll fix it, you know, when I get in. And I was like, and then something told me, you should probably open up the back hatch and see how much water's in there. And I opened the back hatch, and all my Battleborn batteries, chargers, power pole, everything is completely underwater. So I jumped back in the driver's seat, and I just floor it as hard as I could to the shore, which was about 100 yards away. And the water was shooting out the back hatch, going by the motor, and I just drove it straight up on the bank, you know, to keep it from going down. And I'm sitting in water, you know, and I catch a ride from Larry Nixon. Oh, I tried to Uber first, but there's no Uber going to pick you up in Spring Creek out there in the middle of nowhere. I got
my big GMs.
Yeah. So I go through my phone, and I'm like texting everybody, and I'm calling, no one's answering. And I'm like, hey, no big deal. Just, you know, I'm sinking, but, you know, give me a call back. I need you to pick me up from shore, and no one, but I finally got a hold of Larry Nixon. He came and got me, and I got the truck, and I pulled, and luckily there was a ramp right there where I drove it on the shore, and I backed it in, and I go to the boat, and I'm just like, God, please let this thing start. Like, everything's underwater. I'm like, just let this thing start. And it cranked right up.
What?
And I'm sitting in water, and I back it off the shore, and I drive it on the trailer. And then, like, I pull the trailer out, like, an inch, let it drain, pull it out another, you know, just so I wouldn't pop the tires. And, man, I dried it out. I took it to the weld shop. They welded a 3-inch by 4-foot long piece of aluminum over the cut. Because what it was a stump with a piece of rebar in it, so it just
the
rebar punched through and it just cut it like a can opener right down the middle of it. And they welded it up. They did an awesome job there. The weld shop was right there, aired everything out. You know, I got back out the next day of practice, and I was shocked, everything worked. The next day everything worked, and now we're like, you know, 3 weeks later, I'm not leaking. All my batteries are working. Everything. I mean, it's incredible. It's like never even happened.
Dude, it's amazing that nothing shorted out. Like, that's a miracle from above that nothing shorted out.
Not saying next week, you know, while we're doing the MPFL thing, I'm out there stranded and I'm like, hey, man, none of my batteries work or anything. But I mean, for three weeks, they've been solid. So I'm going to keep running them just to see.
There's no Uber at Pickwick either, bud. So
no.
I think that's a testament. You know me, I'm an express guy. I'm an aluminum guy. I think that's a testament, though, to why I enjoy. I mean, look, I don't want to knock a hole in one. I have hit some things, though, that I should not have hit, and the toughness of that material. Like, it really, like, dude, had you not hit the rebar, you probably wouldn't have poked a hole.
No, it would have been fine.
It might have bent it, scratched it.
I mean, I thought it was fine. Like, even when I went back in the water, I was just going to take off. But something was telling me to take a look at it. Because can you imagine if I would have took off, got farther into Spring Creek, and probably, you know, the boat, I would have lost all my stuff.
Everything.
Bro.
And, dude, can you imagine if that had been in a glass boat, though? Like, what a testament. I mean, because it would have destroyed it, first of all, like, just immediately. Mm-hmm. And there's no, oh, yeah, well, then I practiced again. Then I fished the event. Now I'm three weeks later. None of that in a glass boat.
It would have totaled out the glass boat.
Seminole is an evil fishery.
It really is.
It is, man.
I love it, though. I love it besides that part. Like, the fishing, I love the fishing there. I just hate running around there.
Sucks, man. It takes me like a full day every time I go there to kind of like mentally get into, all right, I'm just going to hit shit the entire time I'm
here. Yeah.
What I mean? He's doing the glass. And I haven't fished it since I've had my Express, but like when I was with Rangers, it'd just be like, dong, dong. All day. You're like, oh, like you're good. Yeah. And you know, you see, you'll go buy a stump that will have rebar on it. And
oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, my God. If I hit that, I'm going to poke a hole. Like it's in your mind. And Santee Cooper's a lot like that for me, too. Like it's one of those places it takes me like a day to go, all right. Kind of got to get into this like it's Thunderdome. Like this is not a normal bass fishery.
Yeah. But I don't think anywhere has more. Seminole's got more rebar than anywhere I've been.
It's weird. I've never
really. It's a good idea to mark the stumps and the channel. Yeah. You know, with the white pole and the reef. That's where the rebar gets in.
Okay, I got you.
But what happens is when someone breaks that white pole off, then the rebarb's still in the stump, and then you hit it. You know, that's the problem with it. But
I was down there one time fishing a BFL as a co-angler. I was like 17. I made a regional, and the guy I drew on day 2 was from Kentucky. It zeroed the first day. He's ready to get out of there. He hated his life. Super nice guy. But he was like, hey, man, if I ain't caught anything by 12, I'm getting the hell out of here. Well, I end up catching a 7-pounder. Well, dude, that one fish, it was like October's miserable. It was like right at like 6-12.
Oh, yeah.
It almost made the All-American for me at 17. Right. Like I missed it by a pound.
I think I might have fished that one.
I don't remember, dude. I was young. Yeah, but I caught the fish. And this dude, he goes, well, I guess I got to stay till the end of the day. And he wanted to go home. And, dude, I've never felt so bad. We're in Spring Creek, and this dude hits a stump that's got a damn nail nailed in the top of it. And he had a champion, a 210 champion. And he's on the trumbler, and you just hear, and I'm like, what is that, man? He gets off of it. And this dude, like his boat was pristine. Nothing like mine and yours. Like dude. And it's just a gouge. Like you could take your thumb and get in it and just trashes his boat. And he had to stay because of me.
Oh God.
had we not had to wait on me to weigh this bass in, he would never have hit it. And I felt terrible. And he was super nice. He told everybody all day. And this may be, if you were in the event, I do think the Gator division was in it.
Yeah.
I think Bama, Choo Choo.
Yeah. No, I think
Bama, I was thinking, Gator.
I don't know. I think I just started driving.
Okay.
I was just going.
Steve Kennedy was in it?
Yeah.
Steve Kennedy was in the tournament. He did good. And he had a little tunnel hole deal going on. Went way up with Lynn or whatever. But I caught one keeper the first day. The guy I was with hit a rock. I caught one little one. And then I lost a 2-pounder. And I think maybe I missed All-American by 2 pounds, whatever. But I'd never caught – dude, I'd caught like some 5-pounders. Like I don't know that I'd ever caught a 6, maybe. This fish was really long and skinny. When dude netted her, he's like, that's a 10-pounder. He was from Kentucky. He didn't know.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, dude, I caught a 10-pounder. Everybody we saw all day.
Yeah.
In the water, he's like, y'all doing any good? He's like, my co-angler's got a 10-pounder. When we got back to Wingates that afternoon, someone from FLW brought me a damn weigh-in bag. They were like, get it up here, son. Like, dude, they were waiting on me like, oh, yeah. And I was like, yeah, daddy came to play. And I think it weighed like 6'12". when I got on stage with it, I forget who the tournament director was. But he was like, all right, Luke, man, that's a big one. What do you think? And I'm like, I'm going to say like 8'1". And I was being conservative because I was like, it's a 10-pounder.
Yeah.
6-pounder. He goes, you big-eyed that one, didn't you? Yeah, man. And then the craziest part of this is if you go back and look at the record, I did not officially win big bass in the tournament. So they had a side pot for the money that I did not pay at the meeting because I missed it. I ended up getting they gave me the plaque for big bass, which I have in my shop from that tournament from 2000, whatever, 2000, maybe 2000.
Four? Oh, yeah.
That was 2000. Four. I think it was 2000. Oh. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. 2000, 2001. Anyways, I have the plaque and did not win a penny for it. They gave the other dude the money that caught a smaller bass than me. I didn't put my $10 in the side pot, and they weren't officially paying money for big bass. It was a side. That was in the Operation Bass days, actually. It wasn't FLW.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of memories of Seminole. A lot.
Yeah.
A lot of them. Almost died in a tornado when we were there for the FLW tour in a house trailer.
Oh, God.
Dude, yeah, like me and Sam George and then I had my camera guy. Well, yes, dude, the video from that's hilarious. Like we had tornado warnings, dude. It got sideways where we were staying, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Holes in the roof of the place from where that hurricane came through, dude. It was flooding in the house. Craziest damn week of our life. Like
that, we went right after the
hurricane. After. To quote Russell Cecil, my buddy Russell from Texas, Russell said, yeah, it looks like Beirut. It looked like something overseas, dude. It was just, everything was just leveled. It looked like a bomb from Hurricane Michael. Yeah, it was crazy.
That's right.
Right after. Yeah, man. Yeah. Oh, me, man. That's all I can think about every time I watch Seminole, though. And then when you're talking about stumps, I'm like, I've been there, done that many times, buddy. Many times. Yeah. Well, dude, I always appreciate you coming on. I reached out to you not long ago. I was like, dude, we got to talk about this MPFL thing. So I'm glad we could do it the week of. And hopefully we get to talk to you on camera. Cause you said, dude, we're going to have fun. If I'm commentating and you're on live, it's going to be
No, I can't wait, man. I'm excited. And anytime, man, I enjoy coming on here, talking to you and catching up.
It's always good, buddy. And, you know, I wish I could say, come up to the house and hang out while you're at Pickwick, but I'm going to be in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Studio for a tournament that's 35 minutes from my house.
Oh, man. Oh, you guys should have set up there on the water there.
Yeah, well, we did that year one. And then production value, it's I don't want to say easier. It's just everything runs smoother when we're in studio.
Yeah.
It's just signal-wise and everything.
Yeah, dude. That's
true. There's a reason Bass does it that way. There's a reason MLF does it that way.
Yeah.
We tried it. It was cool. I miss dearly being at the events and seeing everybody at the weigh-in and high-fiving because that's part of it for me. And it's a little different being 12 hours from it. But, yeah, man, we have fun anyways. Me, I got Fat Cat to hang out with. And
right.
The only bad part about him is he gives awkward hugs constantly. He's John Cox, you're the man. I appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, Luke. Thanks.
John Cox, everybody. One of the John Coxes. Well, all right, that's all she wrote with John Boy, John Cox. Like I said, one of my favorite folks, always a great freaking time with him. And just, you can't make his life up in the insanity he takes it on, but he is a tournament fisherman, period. That's all he wants to do. He's obviously very damn good at it. Got a lot of events coming up this year, and I can't wait as you guys are listening to this and Pickwick's fixing to get rolling there for the MPFL. I can't wait to see how he does with us this year. I'm sure it'll be more of the same that it's been everywhere he's been in his career, especially in recent years. But I thank John for coming on. I thank the folks from the W Sauce for bringing you the sauce right there with old John Boy. Don't forget, you can tune in and watch us MPFL live. Go to the MPFL website there. You're going to get to see it on Fix TV. The Fix TV app is where you can find Weighing In with Luke and Fat Cat. It's going to be a large time. Go check that out as well. And then the Bassmaster Classic, don't forget, 1 p.m. in the Express Boats booth, and then that night, the Throwdown parking lot party tailgate for all the lowlifers at the Hill Bar and Grill there in downtown Knoxville. It's going to be fun, man. The next few weeks are going to be wild. Lots of goings on, lots of traveling, but it's the traveling circus, baby, so it's all we ever do. Thank y'all, each and every one of y'all, for tuning in each and every week. I appreciate you with all I got. It's awesome. Getting to do this, getting to interact with y'all at events coming up like the Classic, it means more than you realize, and we're going to always do it as long as we got a breath in us and as long as y'all keep showing up, all right, you bunch of lowlifers. So go take you out with some Biloxi Blues, and I'll see y'all next time.
Couldn't make it last. Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts.
Sweet.
Well, I'm going to leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires.
$5 and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV. A life that has the stories to back it. A life to be proud of. It's a Winchester life.
Yeah, baby. 6'8 Western. Oh, mule deer, baby, right there.
Tune in every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.